Deep within the Geek Cave, there lives a sarcastic woman who jumped the snark years ago. With her cynicism talisman forever upon her neck, she guides you through the cinematic wasteland. It's time for the More Than Monthly Movie Review from the GRD Cinemistress, Carol the Cat.
Hello, this is the Cinemistress, and I went to the movies. I went and saw Glass, which is directed by M. Night Shyamalan and starring Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson, James McAvoy, and Sarah Paulson. So, a little background here. Unbreakable is my favorite Shyamalan movie. Matter of fact, it's one of my favorite movies. I think it is better than The Sixth Sense. I think it's a brilliant take on a modern superhero film, and has an excellent and subtle performance by Bruce Willis, which is kind of difficult to do. I also liked Split, which I think had a brilliant performance by James McAvoy, but I thought that movie relied a bit too heavily on that performance, which isn't a bad thing, because the performance was excellent. I just thought the movie around that performance was a little bit lacking. But I was very happy with the end credit sequence in Split that put that movie in the Unbreakable universe, and I was very eager to see this final film of the trilogy. For those of you out there who have not seen Unbreakable or Split, I will say you do need to see those two movies before seeing this movie. As usual, there will be spoilers, but I'll save them till the end of the initial review, and I'll give you fair warning. The initial review will be spoiler-free. So let's raise a glass and talk about Glass. First, the plot. This takes place 19 years after Unbreakable and 3 weeks after Split. David Dunn, aka The Overseer, thankfully they didn't stick with the name Tiptoe Man, is still prowling the streets of Philadelphia doing the vigilante thing with the help of his son Joseph. Currently, he's actively seeking the Beast, who is still kidnapping girls and occasionally eating people. After an initial encounter, both Dunn and the Beast are captured and placed in the care of Dr. Ellie Staple. Also in her care is Elijah Price, aka Mr. Glass. Dr. Staple is attempting to convince the three that they are not, in fact, superheroes or supervillains. They are just normal guys who think they are super. That this is all due to brain injuries and that she can, in fact, cure them of their delusions. Also that they read too many comic books. So the question is Dr. Staple right? Are these three just normal guys who think they're super? Or are they, in fact, superheroes and supervillains? And that is the plot of Glass. So let's get into the good, the bad, and the ugly of this film. First, the good. Once again, James McAvoy is brilliant. He really has this character of Kevin Wendell Crumb down, and he has the ability to switch between those personalities with just complete ease. It's quite amazing to watch. And now that I've complimented his very fine performance, I'd like to objectify him just a little tiny bit, because James McAvoy's thighs are drool-worthy. Matter of fact, I'm going to give him a sigh. I'm also very happy to see Spencer Treat Clark back in this film as Joseph, David Dunn's son. This made a nice callback to Unbreakable. It also meant that they could use clips from that film, and it wouldn't look weird. Plus, he's also a fine actor, and he does a really good job here. Samuel L. Jackson is good once his character is allowed to do anything? More on that in a little bit. I also liked the cinematography. I thought the film actually had some beautiful sequences, particularly with its use of color. Each of the color schemes for the different characters worked very well. That being said, that's about all the good I can say about this film. Let's move on to the bad. I found myself trying to make excuses for this film while I was watching it, which is never a good thing. As a matter of fact, the last time I think I did that was in the prequels. I really wanted to like this film, and I really wanted a satisfying conclusion to this trilogy, and this just isn't good. McAvoy is great, but his character remains the focus of the movie, and as a result, Dunn and Glass are totally underutilized here. This movie is called Glass, yet Mr. Glass doesn't speak until an hour into the film. The focus here is still completely on the Beast. Dunn, in particular, is given very little to do, and Bruce Willis basically sleepwalks through his performance, as does Anya Taylor-Joy, who returns as Casey, the final girl from Split. Worst of all, though, is Sarah Paulson's character, Ellie Staple. It's so one-note and predictable. And it doesn't help that Shyamalan uses so many point of view shots with her. She's constantly just staring at you. I'm not sure what he was trying to accomplish with all the point of view shot, but all it made me do was focus completely on Sarah Paulson's lipstick. He also uses so many close-ups, extreme close-ups. It got claustrophobic. I really don't need to be able to count the nose hairs in Samuel L. Jackson's nostrils. Really, I don't. So since this is an M. Night Shyamalan movie, there is, of course, a plot twist. There is, in fact, two plot twists in this movie. I will save what they are for the spoilers, but I would like to say that the more interesting of the two is basically thrown away, and Shyamalan decided to focus on the one twist that made very little sense and basically ruined the movie for me. But again, more on that in the spoilers. Now for the ugly. The mental institution that these three men are at is the worst hospital facility I have seen since Haddonfield Memorial Hospital in Halloween 2. They have a violent mass murderer, one who has eaten people, and they are keeping him behind a door that can be opened with a swipe card. They apparently have only hired two orderlies for the facility, and both of them are terrible at their job. They don't check their machines prior to fairly important surgeries. They have guards that don't notice the obvious male in a dress wheeling one of their most dangerous inmates out through the basement. I don't know, maybe they were distracted by James McAvoy's calves, because he does have some nice calves. Second best calves I've ever seen. But no, he's obviously a dude in a dress. This is just terrible security, and no one has any password protection on their computers. They just leave their security systems open to anyone who sits down in front of their computer screens. This is one of the worst-run medical facilities ever put on film. Congratulations. So, final thoughts? As you can tell, I left disappointed. I was really hoping Shyamalan would pull off a hat trick, and he failed. This just isn't a good movie. There are moments of greatness. There really are. But the movie that surrounds these moments is not good. I wish he had given the script to someone else to write, because these are great characters and they really deserved better, and this deserved a better ending because the first two movies in this trilogy are so good. And I'm terribly disappointed with what he did to the character of David Dunn. Dunn was such a great hero in Unbreakable, and he could have done great things with him here, and he just wasted him. So on a scale of 1 to 5 Shyamalans, how badly did M. Night Shyamalan Shyamalan this movie up? I'm giving Glass 4 Shyamalans. It's probably better acted and better constructed than a lot of his films, but it's so disappointing how he ended this trilogy. I can't recommend this. And now, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
You tell me.
Spoilers.
So the main plot twist in this movie is that Ellie Staple, while she is a psychiatrist, is also a member of a super secret cabal. One that apparently meets in public restaurants and waits until people who aren't in their secret society to leave before starting their meetings. I'm not joking, this happens twice in this movie. What happens if there's like a party of people that don't want to leave the restaurant because they're having a good time? Does this group just stare at them evilly until they leave? What if you have like an extra long bathroom break and you come back and the meeting's already started? Are you like sucked into their secret society because the clams didn't agree with you? Maybe that's how they get new members. I don't know. What we do know is that this group is dead set against superheroes because they think if there's a superhero out there, a supervillain will rise up to fight them. And that's a bad thing or something. So Ellie's job is to convince these individuals that they aren't super and they should just go back to living their normal lives and not do extraordinary things. And if that doesn't work, she basically lobotomizes them. And if that doesn't work, she kills them. This plot twist might have worked if this movie had taken place right after Unbreakable, when David Dunn had just started out being a vigilante. But he's now been at this for almost 2 decades, and it's completely silly to think that anyone could convince him he isn't super. He's been doing this for way too long to suddenly think it's all just coincidence in comic books. We're not told if this is her first attempt at this, which, if it is, bang up job, everyone's dead, Ellie. We're also not told how long the society has been in existence. Long enough for them all to get matching tattoos, but this whole plan seems completely silly and very convoluted. If you're that dead set against superheroes, just kill them. And while you're at it, get a meeting space, guys. It's easier to hold conversations that way. The other more interesting plot twist deals with Kevin Wendell Crumb, who is the host, for lack of a better word, of The Beast. Kevin was brutalized by his mom. His father would stop the abuse, but his dad died when he was very young, and that removed the safety net, and basically Kevin's mom abused him to the point where his personality shattered. What we find out is that Kevin's dad died on the same train that Dunn was on at the beginning of Unbreakable. So Mr. Glass basically created The Beast. This is a far more interesting plot twist and one that should have been the backbone of the movie. If you have two supervillains fighting each other and a superhero trying to stop them both, that would be an interesting film. Instead, this plot twist is just thrown in at the end and very little is done with it, and that is a shame. Because instead we're stuck with a stupid secret society and Sarah Paulson staring at us and telling us that we aren't all that special. Thanks, M. Night Shyamalan. This is a very disappointed Cinemistress signing off. Until next time.
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States License. Come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and hit up our website at geekradiodaily.com. Find more of Carol the Cat at guardiansofthegeekery.com. and purplehairedpixie.com.